To Mark chapter 11. We're going to continue our series that we started 4 weeks ago now, and we may be reaching the halfway point. We're going to continue on this along these lines for a while, but we're going to be talking, we've been talking about faith, and let's just read right here in Mark chapter 11, verse number 22. It says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.'" Now, we've been talking several weeks about this. Just a real quick review. First week, we talked about that faith was something that's very important to the life of a believer. If you are someone who has a relationship with Jesus, this is a very important part of your walk. Now, I know the greatest thing of our walk is love. Come on, the Bible says that the greatest of these is love, but we're not talking about love today. We're talking about one of the other big three, which is faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. We're talking about faith today, and we said to you in the first week that if you've ever faced a mountain-sized problem, this is the only way to deal with it. Now, you can sit and say, well, what if I'm not facing a mountain-sized problem? Well, you ever heard that saying, a mountain out of a molehill? So it doesn't matter in between the smallest to the biggest. Jesus, right before he told them to curse this mountain or tell it to be moved and cast into the sea, he was talking to a fig tree. Now, a fig tree is pretty small in comparison to this. And I think what Jesus was telling us here is that no matter what size your problems are in your life, this is how you get rid of them. Okay? Now, some people say, well, God's just going to kind of do whatever. And, you know, he's given us, you know, his gifts and he's given us his blessings. And if he wants to bless us, he'll just give it to us. He'll just make that happen. Well, how's that working out for you? Because the truth is if that was going to be the case, we know God's will is for everybody to be saved, and he wants to bless everybody. I mean, if you read the Bible, and so if it's something he just wanted to do, it would have already happened. Come on, we'd all be skinny, rich, and happy. And so that's not happening. But now here's the thing. God's grace does give us freely everything. It does. But everything that has been given freely by grace must be obtained by faith. You got to go and get it. And like I said to you last week, if I was going to give you $1,000 or $100,000 or $1 million, if I was going to give that to you and I held it out in front of you and I said, this is yours now. Now, some of you are going, is there $100,000 in there? No, this is still my sandwich. Okay, there's a sandwich in here. Okay. Now, it's in a Ziploc. It's nice and fresh still. If I was going to hold that out to you and say, this is yours, I've given this to you, and you don't ever come and pick it up, whose fault is that? Is that my fault? Did I really not give it to you? I mean, especially if I lay it there and I go, there you go, that's yours, and you don't ever come and get it, why do you not have it? Is it because I'm withholding it from you? I'm trying to teach you a lesson? Come on, somebody. No, I've given it to you freely. It must be obtained and received by your hands, picking it up. That's what faith is, all right? Faith is what we live by. Faith is what shapes our character, helps us make our choices. It's what we walk by and how we handle everyday life. It's how we quench the fiery darts of the devil. It is how we please God. And so those are the things we talked about in week one. So what is it then? What is faith? Well, faith is a strong opinion based on the Word of God. Now, it's funny that a lot of people have opinions. You ever hear somebody say something and they go, well, this is just my opinion. What are they saying by that? Well, this is what I believe about the situation. Well, I'm sure a lot of people have all kinds of opinions about your situations that you're going through. You already have one. Well, that's when we discovered that there are two different kinds of faith. That there's Thomas faith that sees things and then believes it, which is where most of the Christian world, whether they like to admit it or not, this is where they live. Now, they'll tell you they believe that Jesus is their Savior, and most of them can't be shaken from that. They have true faith in that. But most everything else, they won't believe it till they see it. All right? That is what Thomas, the disciple, had. But he came and told him, Jesus is alive. And he goes, well, unless I can put my hand in the prints of his hands and stick my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe it. And Jesus told him, well, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. Okay, so that Thomas was the first kind of faith. The second kind of faith is Abraham's faith that believes regardless of what the situation looks like. God told Abraham he was going to have children at age 100. Really? And not adopt. Come on now. And then he said, now this is for your wife, Sarah, too, who's 80. How's that going to happen? You know, it's not like we're going to, you know, get in a time machine and go backwards. No, this is going to happen right now. And the Bible says that Abraham did not take account his own body or the deadness of Sarah's womb, but just believed God's word. See, this is what Abraham's faith is that I'm taking this because God said it, and that's it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it sounds like. Well, when did he believe it? He believed it right then. Not when, you know, the Bible says Sarah's age started to reverse, and the clock started to go back on her. And, you know, it'd be awesome if we could figure out how to bottle that. We'd all be bajillionaires because they rolled back the clock on Sarah. God rolled back the clock on her. All right, reversed her age and made her become young again. Well, what was it that caused that to happen? It's because Abraham, you know what, I'm going to do something extra here. Just a little extra, is that okay? Go over to Hebrews chapter 11. I know we're in Mark, but I'm going to go somewhere else real quick. Is that all right? Yeah. And then we're going to do something that the kids can get involved in. Okay? All right, let's see here. We're in 11. This is the Hall of Fame of Faith right here. Look here in verse number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 11 says this, by faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Now here we are with an 80-year-old woman. Hello, everyone on Yvonne's Facebook Live. I'm getting closer, and I see that little phone just getting up higher. Now, Abraham, we know, had faith, because that's what we're talking about, Abraham's faith. But Sarah also, by faith, received strength to receive it. Now, here's why. Because this is the key for all of us right here. Okay? Look at what it says here. All right. By faith, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was well past the age. Why? Because she judged, and this is a capital H here for him, she judged him, that's God, faithful, who had promised. Now listen, that's what we're talking about. If you're going to receive the promise and the blessings of God in your life, you have to judge God faithful. This is not in my notes, and these guys, the girls in the back are probably going, where is he? This is not in the notes. This is extra. This is coming off the hot wire. Listen, you have to judge God faithful. If he said it, then he's faithful to do it. And you have to make a judgment call whether you believe that or not. And that's what Abraham and Sarah did. They judged God faithful. All right? So, now can we just judge him faithful and good, and, you know, hey, he's just good. God's good, so that's good enough for me, and I'm just going to receive blessings, and I'm going to be a bajillionaire, and I'm going to walk in healing. No, that's not what you can't just go off and just be confessing anything and be believing anything and just, you know, having a positive attitude. Listen, if a positive attitude was good enough, we'd all be there. Okay? It is strictly based on what God has said or is saying to you by your spirit right now. All right, I said last week you got to put a fresh coat of the word on your faith before you use it. You have to. It can't just be believing anything. You have to believe the word of God. If God didn't say it, he's not bound to do it. And if he's leading you by your spirit, you can step out on the same thing. I said this last week too. If he's leading you by your spirit, a specific thing for you to stand on, then you can stand on that just as much as you can stand on something you find written in Scripture. Why? Because it's the same God speaking to you, and it's the same word. Come on. All right? So then last week we said to you, how do we build strong faith? We surround ourselves with that which produces faith. We build on the word and not our experiences or what we think we know, and that's where a lot of people are hurting right there. We look to the word ourselves and not for somebody else to give it to us. Now, all these are available for you. You can go out and pick up a CD, or you can listen to it on the website, free, all right? But you need to look to the word yourself and listen and feed yourself, and not just because some, you know, wonderful preacher that you grew up with or somebody you like to watch on TV said it. You need to receive it yourself, all right? The next thing was to obey the word of God and God's leading in your life. If he's telling you to do something and believe for something and you don't do it, it's not going to happen. All right? You have to stay humble because you yourself do not have any ability or power to do these things. Okay? If you did, again, you'd already be there. But then you have to have a holy boldness in what God said would happen. That God's character is awesome. God's character is flawless. Come on. God's faithful every time. And when you have the boldness in who he is, then you understand what is supposed to be happening with you. Amen? This week, we got to talk about something big here, and this is going to be in verse number 23, and that is this: faith must be released. Now, what does that mean? Gotten rid of? No, it means it has to be loosed into the air by either an action or your words, or else they will not work. Look here in verse 23. For assuredly I say to you, now I want you to notice, we're going to count here, okay? The word says in this, as opposed to the word believe. Now look here what it says. For assuredly I say to you, now don't count that one because he's talking about himself, all right? But look what he says. I say to you, whoever says, there's one, to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believe. Okay, there's believe, there's one time. But believes that those things he says, there's two, will be done. He will have whatever he says. Now, how many is that? That's 3-1. 3-1. Jesus is making a statement here. He's saying, listen, you need to be releasing or saying what you believe to what? To your situation. Okay? Faith must be released by either some action or by a confession. Confession is mentioned in the New Testament 4 times, different kinds. Now, some of you come from a Catholic background, and I'm just going to say this to you. That is some of the most fascinating parts of church history happened in the Catholic Church. I've been all over the world, and I'm going to tell you something, and people can roll their eyes and say whatever they want about Catholics. Those people have done something that nobody else has. There are big, giant cathedrals built in third world countries that people look and see God. Come on, somebody. So I'm not here to trash on the Catholics. Everybody just calm down. I'm not bashing on anybody. But I want to say this. The word confession, kind of, especially if you come out of that background, you kind of have a connotation like, I have to be taking notes of everything bad I'm doing so I can go to the priest and tell him everything I did wrong. All right? That is not really that kind of confession is not really one of the confessions that is talked about in the New Testament. That's something that, again, not bashing on him, but that's something that's man-made. Me as a Christian with Jesus is not, to have a relationship with Jesus is not for me to go and run and tell somebody everything I did wrong. If I did, I'm just going to tell you, we're all doomed because there's no way you're ever going to remember, come on, everything that you've done. Okay? So let's just move on past that because we're going to talk about the 4 different kinds of confessions that are mentioned in the Bible, all right? All right, the first one is this, Matthew chapter 3, verse number 4, and we're going to hit these kind of fast because we want to get to the real meat of what we're talking about today. verse number 4 of Matthew chapter 3. The first one is this, the Jews' confession of sin. The Jews' confession of sin. This is not Christians. This is the Jews' confession of sin. Look here in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 4. John's clothes were made of camel's hair. Now, we're talking about John the Baptist. And he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locust and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Look at this. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. Now, this is not Christian baptism. This is not even christening of the babies. This is not what we're talking about. Okay? This is, Jesus had not died at this point. He had not died on the cross and been rose again. So this is not Christian baptism. John did not baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or in the name of Jesus. John was out there just allowing the Jews to have a place to confess their sins. He was making, what was he doing? He was paving the way for what was coming next. Get ready, because you're going to confess something else to who's coming after me. All right? The second kind of confession that's mentioned in the New Testament is the confession of the sinner today. This is what we all know this, because if you've been saved, you made this confession. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now look at this, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with, come on, look at these next three words, this is huge, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now this is how the sinner becomes a new person, so that their life can now change to really becoming somebody else. When the Bible uses the phrases, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creation, this is how it happens right here. This is the only way it happens. You can't earn this. You can't try to find some other way to get there. This is the only way it happens, is right here. Okay? The third kind of confession that's in the New Testament is the confession of the believer's sin. But now, why do believers have to make a confession if they already have a relationship with Jesus? Now, just a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, I was so exhausted from working here and putting in these new lights, I sat here and drank coffee and talked. And I talked about the difference between a relationship and fellowship. Believers don't have to confess their sins because their relationship is severed. Now, this is where people start getting all antsy right here. They start going, oh, are you talking about once saved, always saved? I mean, do I not have to worry about that? I didn't say that. You can break your relationship with Jesus. You can. You can totally break your relationship with Jesus. But all of us sin every day, whether we realize it or not. Okay? And there are things that we do that we do know that we're doing wrong. And those are the things that we know that when we know we do, we need to confess those. Why? We need to confess those to him. Because when we do things we know we're not supposed to do, it doesn't break our relationship with Jesus, but it takes us out of fellowship with Jesus. And there's a huge difference with that. Huge difference. You know, if my kids, move away and go to college, and they're not living in my house anymore, and, you know, some parents are like, hallelujah, running the aisles and lifting their hands, but you don't have the same interaction with them anymore. That's what fellowship is. It's interaction constantly on a real continual basis. That's fellowship. Well, when you are in sin doing whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, okay, guess what? God can't be part of that. He can't. And you can say, well, God loves me. True, God loves you. And the Bible does say nothing can separate you from the love of God. That doesn't mean he's sitting right there with you while you're doing what you're doing. And so in order for us to have that fellowship restored, that's what this kind of confession, come on now, is. You may still be a child of God. You may still be. I mean, I don't know what's in your heart. I can't make that call. Okay? But I don't believe that salvation is easily something that's lost. And you just stub your toe and you said a curse word and the trumpet blows and you're done. I used to get that question a lot when I was a youth pastor. What if I'm driving and I veer off the road and I have a wreck and I'm going over a cliff and I say a curse word right before the car explodes? Am I going to wake up in hell? And I used to look at him and go, yep, don't cuss. And then we would laugh it off. I don't believe your relationship is something that can just be easily taken away from you, something that you can just easily fall out of. I do believe you can fall out of it, though. But it's not something that's just so, you know, so easily given away. But if there are things that God's laid on your heart that you know you're not supposed to be doing, that's what this confession is, okay? 1 John chapter 1, verse number 9, writing to church people, and notice this is John speaking. He says, if we. Now, who's we? Why would John call himself, you know, why would he say we if he wasn't talking to church people? If he was talking to unsaved people, he'd say, if you. But he's talking to other Christians here, including himself. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us, come on, our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All right? There are all kinds of times in our life as believers where we will mess up and do something wrong. Not of us like to admit it. Not a lot of us sit very piously and just act like that's not happening with me. It is. That it's not happening with me is pride and believing a lie about yourself, and you're sinning right now. Okay? You ever say something that you wish you hadn't said? You ever gotten mad at somebody and wish you hadn't acted the way you acted? You knew you ever done something that you knew you weren't supposed to do and you went ahead and did it anyway? This is that kind of confession, okay? Now, here's the one we want to get to. It's this one right here. The confession of our faith in God's Word. This is the one we want to camp at today, all right? You need to be saying what you believe about God's Word more than you're saying by glorifying the problem. Now listen, that doesn't mean, now listen, I have an uncle and he will never, ever admit that there's a problem. Well, how do you even know what you're speaking to if you don't know? Come on. If you don't admit there's a problem. Psychiatrists will tell you that the first step to recovery is acceptance. Come on. I have an issue. I have a mountain that I need to get rid of. If you don't ever acknowledge the mountain's there, come on. What are you going to talk to? Okay? But now, once you acknowledge that problem's there, then that the speaking about the problem needs to change from, oh my God, there's a mountain there, to, you're going to go. I got to start changing what I'm saying. You can tell me, yeah, but all the time. What do you believe now? Are you going to make a choice to judge God faithful by what he's, come on now, by what he said? Or are you going to sit and tell me everything? Yeah, but. We can all say, yeah, but, till we're blue in the face. I'm choosing to believe something else, and if I choose to believe something else, then I have to start releasing that, okay? So who am I speaking to? I'm speaking to the mountain. Look at what Jesus says here, Mark 11, 23. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, and notice that word this. A lot of times people look at their faith and their confession as like this general catch-all, and I can just speak positive things and just keep speaking the Word of God. And No. This is not a catch-all. Jesus is being specific here. Whoever says to this, come on, mountain. What does that mean? I have to go and acknowledge this is here. This disease has been diagnosed upon me. I have this financial need. Come on, I have this addiction. Come on, somebody. And everybody's afraid of this. Jesus says, whoever says to this mountain. I have to acknowledge a disease is trying to attach itself to my body so that I know to speak to it. Where do I know to put my faith at if I don't know it's there? If I'm not going to accept it's there? All right? So I'm saying to this mountain. James chapter 2, verse number 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself does not have works. If it does not have works, is dead. Now I want you to catch that. If faith is by itself, if it does not have works, it's dead. What was faith again? Your strong, opinion based on the Word of God. So let's look at this. Thus also, your strong opinion about the Word of God by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now this is important, y'all, because a lot of people will believe the Word of God and say, "Yep, that is right," but they don't go and put the actions with it. Now I want you to look, skip down to verse 26, because James says it again. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so my strong opinion about the Word of God without works is dead also. Now I need a little help today. So who wants to be my assistant? Come on. Taylor. I'm going to, somebody give me a modesty cloth. Give me one of them modesty cloths. No, you stay right here. Okay. Are they there? The prayer cloths? I should have went over this with my staff before I did it. You're going to lay down. That's why we're doing this. Lay down on the altar. We're not sacrificing, I promise. All right. Okay. Now, let me tell you a story really quick about this. All right. Not about her. All right. I just did that. It reminded me. When I was a first-year student at Rhema, which is where I went to Bible college, we have what we call prayer and healing school every day. After lunch, they had prayer school, and then they had healing school. And back in the day, when I was a student, Keith Moore was the afternoon healing school instructor. If you don't know who Keith Moore is, he's on TV here, and is just a real man of God, somebody I really love to enjoy listening to. And he was preaching, and it was a Friday afternoon. On Fridays, when they laid hands on the sick. And literally, Raymond would have people come from all over the world just to sit in healing school. People with terminal illnesses and things like that. And they'd hear the word all week long and then have hands laid on them. And so Keith Moore was praying for people, and there were bodies laid everywhere. Because, you know, when you pray for them, they'd fall out under power. And there were bodies laid everywhere. And so I would usher. Now, back in those days, we didn't get the cool polo shirts like they have now. We had to wear a nasty, we're talking, you can tell it was early 90s, the sport coats that had the big brass buttons, and they had three of them. They had red ones, gray ones, and tan ones. And then they had matching ties with the faith shield from Rhema on them. And so we're all dressed up, and we're all standing around, and we're catching people with these jackets on. Can you imagine that? And so, and there's bodies there, and it's to the point where we couldn't move. There were so many people laying everywhere. And there was this guy, he had just started ushering with us. Man, he was cocky. Oh, I've done this at my church. We're a big church, yeah, blah, 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 blah. And so the girl that was doing the modesty cloths, this has nothing to do with faith, by the way. This is just a funny story. The girl that was doing these kind of prayer cloths for people when they were laying out, she couldn't get over to this lady to put one over, so she just threw the cloth to him, and I don't know if he had been paying attention or what. And he grabs it, and he looks at it, the girl goes, put it on her, and he goes, oh, okay. And so he unfolds it, and he snaps it out there real quick and lays it right over her face. We're like, yeah, you know what you're doing, don't you? Anyway, it was a little break from reality. All right, everybody good? Everybody ready now? Okay, Taylor, pretend you're dead. Okay, not like a movie, like you're in a coffin. Yeah, like we're coming to your funeral. Pretend like you're dead. Oh, the lights, they're getting dim. Okay. All right, so we've gathered here today to remember Taylor. She was a good mom and a good wife, and She's a good instructor at Valencia. Say amen. Amen. All right. She's believing God for a job up there. All right. So we believe, and she was a great person, and, you know, just a, you know, she lit up the room when she walked in. Come on. All right. And we will miss her. Now, let me ask you a question. If you go to a funeral and you see somebody laying in the coffin, it's obvious they're not there anymore, isn't it? But see, guess what's still here? This part. The body's still here. Now, a lot of people have taught over the years that faith is an act. Faith isn't an act. Faith has to be released through an act. See, what happens when you don't have the act, this is what your faith is. It's there. You may be believing God's word is true, but if you're not confessing it and releasing it, this is what, and this is where a lot of people miss it. Brother Hagin used to say it this way, senior. He used to say, confessing is three times as important as what you believe is. Why? Because it has to be released. Or else your faith is laying in a coffin, looking pretty, looking sharp, and being remembered like it was in those days when you first got on fire for God. Come on, somebody. Remember when you first got on fire for God and it wasn't hard to talk about how good God was? Amen. Remember how it was when you'd go to a service and you'd get touched and you'd come back and people go, how was that meeting? You go, oh, my God, it was so good. I mean, I could just feel the presence of God and it was so good. And come on. And it doesn't matter who it was. You'd go to a Billy Graham crusade and you'd be, I felt something I never felt before. Why? Your belief was so strong. Come on, it was there. And then we settle into everyday life. We start looking at everyday challenges and our mouth shut. And this is what our faith is. It's not that it doesn't exist anymore. And many of you have faith, come on the inside of you, and you believe it, but you can't figure out why it's not happening. It's because you're letting it lay in the coffin. All right. Rise. Come on up out of that grave. All right. Now, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about it has to be released. Thank you, Taylor. All right. The works that Jesus is talking about and James is talking about can be narrowed down and really simplified into a confession. Your faith. Let's see if we can get this thing to work. Your faith. It was working earlier. I think the battery's dead. You need to put a bullhorn to your faith. You need to put a big mouthpiece on it. You need to be talking to your problems loud enough that they can hear you. What do you need to be saying? Well, what did God say? You need to be saying to your problems, talking, and I don't mean mental talking. I don't mean just, you know, okay, I know that. This is where a lot of faith people miss it. They know this. And they think that's good enough. Well, I know God's word is true, and I believe it's for me, and it's all going on in here, internal monologue. But let me ask you a question. Did you get saved by an internal monologue? Did you get saved? Some people say, well, I don't believe in that confession stuff. Well, then you ain't saved. Because that's the only way to get saved. It's the same. You need to put a big bullhorn on your mouth and start speaking loud enough that your problems can hear you. David went to go fight Goliath. The only reason I'm really on David right now is because that's where I'm at in the one-year Bible. We're reading about David right now. But he went to go, and he walked out there. And he said, Goliath said, he said, am I a dog that you're coming to fight me with a stick and a sling? And David said, the Lord's going to basically deliver you into my hand. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And today I will feed your flesh to the fowls of the air. I mean, he just tells Goliath what's going on. And he goes, that's what's going to happen here. What's he saying? He's saying what he's believing to a giant, literal giant. Mark Hankins, who's a really, really good friend of mine, he travels all over the world. I've been posting some of his stuff in our leadership blogs and stuff like that. He always says, don't run at your giant or your mountain with your mouth closed. Ooh, What do I need to have it filled with? With the Word. With what God has to say about it. Okay? If you go and study the life and the ministry of Jesus, Jesus spoke to somebody's fever. He spoke to demons. He spoke to dead people. He told us to speak to our mountain-sized problems. Now, I want to talk just real quick, because usually when you start talking about confession and you start talking about putting your faith on something verbal, people get in the ditch in two ways. And I want to make sure that you don't do that. All right? Sometimes when people start making a confession, they put themselves in a place that they expect immediately to see a change. And it leads them to be disillusioned, and they'll stop confessing way too quick. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree in Matthew, it dried up immediately. But in Mark, it says they didn't notice it till the next day. Now, theologians believe that Matthew was recalling back, because he wrote his years later, 20 or 30 years later. Mark actually was keeping track while he was writing his. So theologians really will go with the account of Mark more than they will Matthew. All right? But regardless if it happened immediately or if it happened overnight and they noticed it the next day, here's what you have to believe. When you speak to your problems, you are activating God's power on the inside of your problems, whether you can see it or not. Okay? It doesn't matter if you see it right then. It's believing the power of God is working because you spoke to your situation. Now, catch this. You spoke to it the same thing God spoke to those molecules when he created them. Now, I want to say, now, I talk about this in my book. You should pick up a copy of my book. It's out there. All right? At the molecular level, now we're talking science for a second here, and I know a lot of times Christians don't like to talk about science, but check this out. At the molecular level, all the way down to the molecule level, everything that has ever been created was created by God's Word. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Big Bang, was framed by just atoms just slung throughout, randomly colliding. No, it says right here, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now catch this. At the molecular level, everything, including sickness and disease, including poverty, everything down is all the way down, molecular level, at its center is the Word of God. Now, why would you, are you saying God created sickness? No. Satan actually perverted those molecules to become something else. Now, why did he pervert it? Well, because Satan himself does not possess the power to create anything. He can't create anything. He's never created anything. All of his followers in hell, they all came as, they were angels. They were created by God. All right? Satan perverted those molecules, all right, but only God could create it. Demons and Satan and all that has to take what already exists and pervert it to become what we know it as today. All right? So when you speak God's word to your situation, you're speaking to the molecules that are still, oh, somebody's got to catch this, are still in the same words on the molecular level. So when you speak to a tumor, come on somebody, you're speaking all the way down past what it looks like here on the outside, down to its molecules. And what is its molecules? It's the Word of God. It's framed by that. It's made by that. So a lot of people think, well, I spoke it, I tried that, I did that confessing and it didn't work. And this puts people in the ditch, and so then they just stop because, well, it didn't work. I mean, what good is it? And this is why they're saying it. What good does it do? I mean, this is what's going on in the world, and this is what's going on in my life, and this is what's going on in this thing, blah, 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 and I'm blaming it on other people, and yada, yada, yada. And they give you every excuse under the sun. Listen to me. on the molecular level, something's changing. And I don't know anybody in here that can just see with their naked eye, come on, a molecule. Can you? I can't. So that's the first ditch they get to is I tried that and it didn't work. Okay? The second one is this. They get into bondage and become the confession police. And these people will drive you crazy. And I mean crazy. Okay? Now, I do believe, because I'm teaching on confession today, I believe we have to have the right confession. We should be speaking the Word of God. But I know people that have taken it so much to the extreme that they won't even call a youth retreat a youth retreat. They call them advances because we don't retreat. That's a negative confession. I'm going to punch you in the face right now. That's ridiculous. That, my friends, is called legalism. And it's just as much non-belief as non-belief is. If you are scared that you're going to make the wrong confession, you're not in faith anyway. And if you're worried, tippy-toeing around, oh, I'm going to make the wrong confession, you're not in faith anyway. I believe that we need to guard what's coming out of our mouth because it's creating the world around us. But I also know that there is something called empty confessions. You ever say something you don't really believe? Let me ask you a question. What happens if you put your words in ahead of what you believe? You know what that's called? Witchcraft. That's what it's called. Why? Witches can take these spells. Come on. Doesn't matter if they believe it or not. They speak it out, and what happens? It rains in Africa or whatever they tell you. You know, I'm afraid to say too much. I might flood the continent. I've heard witches actually say this to me. They just think, they almost look like it's what's coming out of your mouth like abracadabra. Seriously, like it's some kind of magic words that's just going to. You can't put the power of your words in front of what you believe and expect a result. That's why we don't need confession police. The only thing we need to be doing is encouraging one another to keep speaking the word, not getting people scared that they're making the wrong confession. All right? If they have not believed it in their heart, come on, Proverbs tells us, out of the abundance of the heart, come on, the mouth speaks. What does that mean? That means that when it says that, it means I'm making a proclamation. I'm saying this is going to happen. But how many times have you said to your kids, I'm going to kill you? They're still living, aren't they? Why? You didn't believe that in your heart. Come on, how many times you've been mad at your spouse, say, I'm going to kill you when you get home, and they're still here? I mean, how many times have you said something just out of frustration that you didn't really believe? That's no more hampering you than the man in the moon. Now, I will say this, it's not helping you. But it's not hurting you. You don't really believe it anyway. All of us, let's just get real, folks. We all have frustrations, and we all have times in our lives that we are just not there. We're just not able to deal with it right now, and we spout off and we say something and we didn't believe it. Okay, both of those are ditches. And a ditch will keep you from going on down the road. But if you'll back yourself up to the middle, come on somebody, and you'll walk down the road of, I'm not going to make the wrong confession that I believe over my situation. Come on. I'm going to keep my mouth shut, all right? And I know whether I can see it or I believe whether I can see it right now or not, I believe it's working. Come on, and the mountain is moving. And between those two things, that's when you really get in the center of the road and the mountain, come on, begins to move. Now, next week, we're going to talk a little bit more along these lines. But here's the thing. Faith must be released in order for it to work. When does it have to be released? In the very face of your problem. When that problem sticks its head up, you need to pull that bullhorn out. I wish this was working. I would totally just be right in your face. giving it to you right now. You need to be right in the face of your problem. Saying it as loud as you can with some assistance. Anybody remember the old Police Academy movies? There was only about 28 of them. And there's Lieutenant Harris is yelling at Mahoney this far from his face. Yeah. Mahoney! And he's going, ah. That's what you need to do to your problem.
Right
up next to it as loud as you can. And say it right as, I am not backing off from this mountain. You're moving. I'm going to close with this quote. Here it is. The African impala can jump to a height of over 10 feet and cover a distance of greater than 30 feet in that one jump. Yet these incredible creatures can be kept in an enclosure inside any zoo with a 3-foot solid wall. That kind of blows your mind, doesn't it? The animals will not jump if they cannot see where their feet are going to fall. Faith is the ability to trust and act on God's words when our eyes and minds can't see us overcoming. We can jump higher than any problem confronting us if we agree with the promises of God. Here's the big catchphrase right here. And act on them. You know, if that impala wanted to, it could just jump right over that wall and just keep on running, and ain't nothing nobody's going to be able to do about it. But they're afraid of failing. What if I jump that wall and on the other side is a cliff and it's just going down? Forget the cars that are driving by looking at me. I mean, what if there's just a big giant hole there? Well, what if I confess and I look stupid? This is what I'm talking about right here. Well, what if I make that confession and I look like an idiot? What if I say there's 150 people in our church and I say it for 5 years? Come on, and there's 70. Well, I mean, aren't you going to look stupid? Doesn't look like it's working to me. This is what I'm talking about. You have to keep on saying it and keep on saying it and keep on declaring it and keep on declaring it and keep on declaring it. Doesn't matter if you can see it or not. Use the ability that God's placed on the inside of you and release your faith. Amen. Bow your head.